This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I've always wanted to own a floor.
The floor
you
is
own
indeed
the floor.
Ours now. The floor is yours.
It's all
right
yours,
here.
Man.
Thank you. It's a privilege on a Tuesday here on Sports Radio 610 to have the floor. It's in the loop. Mm-hmm. You got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atula, hanging out with you, excited to do so. The YouTube, the Twitch, those are active. And indeed, the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610. I'll give you the whole spiel when I can actually see it again. Actually, no, here, wait, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
5-Hour Energy fan line, 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football super fan. Shout out to Sean as well, nailing that multiple times on the program earlier. I thought he did a best read of the 5-Hour Energy fan line. Yeah, so let's keep that energy going, getting involved with the conversation all day long, including where we're starting. We're almost to the halfway point. The stupid 17th game has made it so that we don't have that clean, clear halfway point.
Halftime Thursday is the halfway point.
Yeah,
of the
we're
season.
Not going to have an opportunity to stop and have conversation.
That's
at that
what point. I'm going to do my Texans season report card.
Yeah. Excellent.
At halftime of the Jets
should.
Game on Thursday night.
Yeah. Okay. Looking forward to that. I will be in a Buffalo Wild Wings in spring, so I won't be able to take that in quite that way. However, I'll be looking forward to that, Sean. But yes, we'll do a de facto midway point conversation right now. With the midpoint of the season coming up, what are kind of the most promising trends
right
through the season to this point? 713-572-4610.
There are things that we can talk about that are you know, something that of a concern or little nitpicking things that we can talk about. But I wanted to look at they are 6-2.
Correct.
Like they are.
That is a fantastic
6-2
trend. Yeah, that one makes me feel pretty good.
How did they get here? Like, what are the, to me, you know, what are the most promising trends? Because let's say they do correct some of these things. They do maybe even hit the trade market, which will be a topic of discussion between now and a week from today, and all that stuff. And they correct something. But what has gotten them here? Well, to me,
we're trying to be as positive as possible here. All right, so
yes.
I'm.
Let's be positivity. Let's have some positivity.
I will
today.
Do my damnedest.
This is a championship level defense, and I know.
Oh yeah, I can get behind that.
You start 100%. Throwing the word championship around, and you know people. Oh, they haven't done this. No. But the defense, it's not just good. Like you look at the quarterbacks that have played in NRG Stadium. Not one. I believe the most yardage passing is 174
yards.
Which
happened this weekend.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it. That's the apex. So
I think you have a combined pass rating somewhere in the 60s.
Yeah.
Right? Not particularly dangerous, even if you go up to 70%, right? If we're rounding up. That is not something that is something to write home about. So the Texans have done a damn good job defensively, particularly against these quarterbacks that have come through.
So halfway through the season, pretty much, you got yourself a defense that can do the job you want to get done. All right, that's one.
And I don't want to move too quickly past that. Right?
Yeah, like that's
that,
one.
That is one, but it's also like there's 1A and 1B and 1C within that, right?
Yeah.
The 1A, I think, is clearly that. This defensive line is for real. Then they can get after anybody that they need to, right? Like they ramped it up, right? They started with pressure. They did have pressure, and they, you know, were leading the league at one point in pressure. I'll have to double check where they are. I believe that I don't see any reason as to why the game that they had this weekend would take them further away from that. But this has been a fantastic defensive line getting pressure, but then also they're finishing it off. And it's not just one of those situations where you can look at a team and you go, all right, but if you get that one guy under control,
right,
we can handle this.
Right.
I mean, we're talking about sacks from Tim Settle. We're talking about pressure from Khalil Davis. Like, there's other Mario Edwards, before he gets his suspension, was a man that we constantly were giving a lot of praise to because of his pressure.
And that's just in the middle of the line.
That's before you start thinking about the guys on the edge who have come on really strong with DeMille and obviously Will Anderson Jr., who's playing as good as any edge rusher in the league, right? That is 1A before we talk about anything on the back end of the defense.
And then I think the most important part is in the secondary. And you might think I'm going to be talking about Kamari Lassiter, who I've been very high on, Derek Stingley, who everybody's very high on. But I'm talking about getting the most out of those safeties.
Yes.
Like, I flat out, they need a safety. Those words came out of my mouth multiple times. I think they need a safety. I think they need a safety. They have made do, and more than made do, with their safeties. Now, they've been, you know, it hadn't been as bad as last year, but, you know, they've given up some big plays. But I think you got to give credit to what they have been able to get out of those safes. So the defense, even if they don't add anything, and I'm not saying they shouldn't or won't, but even if they don't have anything, it's there.
Yeah, and you mentioned those safeties. We can also lump in Jalen Petrie. Like, they have played, they've gotten better over the course of the season, which is one of those things that DeMeco talks about. But they've also played particularly well to the point where I don't know that you view them as weak spots necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Depth-wise, I think then you have questions. But again, we're remaining positive here. I think that they've played incredibly well. And you've had some injuries that you've had to traverse, and that those have not weighed you down.
Mm-hmm.
You've even added in on the fly Devin White, who came in and gave you some good reps playing half of the defensive snaps this past week. So, yes, the defense absolutely being at that level. Now, when is Christian Harris going to come back and join? Because that only serves to make that better, right? Mm-hmm. Once Tol returns, and it seems like that might happen this Thursday in New Jersey. And then once Aziz comes back from his injury, that's the thing that's almost been most incredible about these last couple weeks is Aziz looked like he was the heart and soul of this defense.
He was a monster.
And you did not lose that level of energy and edge to this team. This defense as a unit is something special. And, of course, it makes sense that that is DeMeco Ryan's specialty because it's showing up just like that, special.
Let me ask you this now. We're talking about promising trends midway through the season. If I were to ask you, has C.J. Stroud been what you thought he would be through half the season?
No. There's no way. Right, and that's in various capacities. One of those that I think is the biggest for me, and I guess we did know that it was going to shift in some ways with this. Not as many big plays. Last year, he was way up there when it came. I believe he was second in most deep passing yards, and I was looking at this because the Monday Night Football game, I was like, oh, hey, look, Russell Wilson throwing the deep ball again. I kind of want to look at who was throwing the deep ball in a big way last year. C.J. Stroud, boom, there his picture is when I'm looking at this. He got so many yards on deep passing plays, big chunk plays.
Yeah.
And that has not been the way that he's done this year. I mean, there's been some shots here and there, especially when Nico Collins was still available to play. But he's done it in a different way, and obviously that's not allowed him to kind of flourish and go off in a big way. But, yeah man, even just that alone shows a difference in the way that he's played, and he's not been able to do, I guess, some of the more explosive things, not necessarily through a fault of his own, but he just hasn't been able to play up to an incredible standard that I think we might be holding him to while still being very good.
And yet, I think C.J. Stroud is one of the most promising trends, because let me ask you another question about him. I just asked you, has he played up to what you thought he would be? The answer, and I agree with you, is no. But who has been the most clutch player on offense? C.J. Stroud, and it's not close. Clutch.
Yeah. He's been making a lot of he's had to make up for a lot of things.
So that right there tells you, this is promising, because he hasn't played his absolute best, what we expected. But he still ranks extremely high, top 10 in most quarterback categories, and he's been the most clutch player. What do you need in, you know, as you go down the stretch and into the postseason? A clutch quarterback.
Yeah, and now there can be someone that points out the idea, and I think Sean would be a great one, because I know this is a thing that he's been tracking, the idea that in the second half, this team has not been scoring touchdowns as well, but they've been managing to get those victories, and a lot of that because C.J. Stroud is handling his business. But yeah, there's definitely more to be wrung
there's
out
more meat
of.
On the bone.
That's a great way of putting
there's
it.
There's definitely more meat on the bone. So I think that's promising.
And he's developing. Like, you're seeing, because look, second year, right, sophomore slump is a question that comes up, and I think that maybe that's some of the parts that somebody would bring up about C.J. Stroud and his play this year. But you can see the level of development, the ability to handle more pressure over the course of this, right? The learning how to, you know, deal with a lot of too high safeties where teams are, you know, daring you to, you know, consistently make the right play underneath. You can see the level of growth and development within this. And while you might be able to say that there's a level of, like, you know, I don't want to say struggle. Struggle is too strong. But while he's working through that, it's also, he's still able to, as you mentioned, be like top 10 in a lot of categories.
So. All right, and that ties into another thing that I think is incredibly promising midway through the season. The Texans are 5-1 in one-score games. That's not a little thing. That game is on the line. Both teams feel they have a chance. You're in the fourth quarter. Texans have won 5 out of 6 one-score games. That is what I talked about yesterday. Kind of a culture win. You know, that's something that you wouldn't have expected from this team not too long ago. But to be 5-1 in one-score games, that's promising.
Yeah. It's a little confounding, too. I'm going to be completely honest, right? Like, there's been instances
like I said, there are warts.
No, and absolutely. But you have to give it to this team, making sure to get these wins. And I think some of this you can also then come back on to the defense, because there's multiple times that you can look at and go, the defense made sure to hold on to that game at the end of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you got to give this team at least the resilience to get those wins, even as I think – people like me would look around and be like, hey, this is not living up to the caliber and capability of this team. In fact, that's some of the things that you would hear in the locker room from some of these guys.
Yeah.
There's still things to clean up, meaning we are not playing to the level that we expect of ourselves. But you're getting those wins and stacking them, and now you're 6-2.
Yeah. And then there's one that I feel is gaining, notoriety as a huge factor. But I think it's enormous, especially as you're playing one-score games, as you're trying to get the offense going a little bit better and getting C.J. Stroud and the offensive line and all that. Kyahmi Fairbairn can flat out win you a game.
Correct.
Just, you got a kicker that will win you a game.
That's right.
And that is extremely promising when you have all these other things you're trying to overcome. And you're 6-2 and trying to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, man, margins get thin when you're talking about, playing against the good teams, which this team has a lot of those slated. Or at least it looked like it. Some of these are kind of falling off the off the table. Jets are like power ranked in the 20s all the way across. You've got the Cowboys team that is kind of falling apart. There's some of these teams as we go down the stretch that are looking a little bit like their teeth are a little less sharp than we had previously imagined. But there's still a lot of good teams that are coming. And when you're playing against those types of teams, plus the way the AFC South is looking, you're definitely hosting a playoff game, right? So with all of that, once you get to these playoff games, the margins get thinner. And having a kicker as one of those things that pushes over the edge matters. And you can dial up any 50-yard field goal and feel comfortable that Kyahmi Fairbairn gives you a good shot of knocking it down.
Absolutely. I mean, top three, top five in the league, I would say. And then there's this one. And this one, and I'm curious if you have anything else that you want to add, but this one maybe is arguable, but it's not for me. I think D'Amico is coaching his ass off. And let me just kind of explain it a little bit.
Okay.
Because I get, when you have a quarterback playing the way, playing good football, clutch football, but not what you thought, offensive line that you're just patching together, really. You've got what the safeties are doing, what the defense is doing. You're trying to manipulate injuries. You're 6-2, and that culture that he started to develop last year, I think has this team, moving in the right direction despite all those other shortcomings.
Okay, I can see that. Culture is a huge one to start with, right? As the head coach, that is something that you're responsible for. And I think that there's other sports. No, football also absolutely has to be in that place where the culture matters in a great way, almost sometimes more than the actual X's and O's of this. But you can see the ways in which everybody buys in. It's one of those things that we can remark about at the start of the season is that they're constantly parroting the quotes, the slogans that this team has. And you can also see the ways in which their belief in players, that positive way that they've gone about things, have benefited. Jalen Petrie is probably the poster boy for that. And their patience and the way that they've worked around with him has allowed him to be really successful this season. And I imagine a good amount is the confidence that they've imbued him with, but then also finding the right role for him, right? They constantly talk about finding the right role for players and having them be their best selves. The reason why I have a little bit of hesitation, understanding also that I have to be careful because no player is perfect, right? No coach is even perfect. It feels like I'm still trying to figure out if there are inconsistencies with the way that D'Amico goes about things. And yes, he is in his second year as a head coach, so maybe that's just part of it. We've seen some kind of game management flubs in the course of this, whether that's at the end of a half, at the end of games, with some of these decision-making processes. We've also, in some ways, I found it interesting that they came out in this last game and decided we're going to take the football. And D'Amico Ryans is basically his answer came down to, we just wanted to kind of establish the tone. And I'm like, Not that there's anything inherently wrong with that, but I'm trying to kind of get a feel for what his MO is and kind of what is the overarching philosophy when it comes to some of these decisions. And I don't know that I have a good grasp on that just yet.
Well, I get it, and I don't think that's unfair. But when you start looking at some of the big picture things and sort of, you know, tough decisions that he's made, you know, let's go back, you know, as far as you want. I mean, he made the decision ultimately. Jalen Petrie is going to be the nickel. That was a big decision. He made the decision. We're good with these safeties. You know, he made the decision on in terms of personnel and sort of giving these people, these players, the confidence that it's going to work. He's made some tough decisions. His in-game stuff has been by and large good. I get what you're saying, though. There may be a little bit of an inconsistency here and there. He's also made decisions like strategically. We never thought. You know, he actually said it early on last year. Yeah, we don't really travel a cornerback. Well, they do that some now.
Yeah.
You know, and so, like, he's been flexible in terms of making sure that everything fits into the scheme.
Yeah, and I think you ultimately then still have to come back, as much as this team is process-oriented and as much as I like a process-oriented bunch. You have to then still give him some credit on the back end for results.
Yeah.
And again, 6-2 with a team that has not played all the way up to all the way up to its potential just yet. That you do deserve credit for that. So, yeah, no, those are definitely positive trends. How much of that do you feel like is going to carry you through into the second half of the season? Because that's ultimately the idea, right? How many of these things do you go, that is something that I can depend on going through in the second half? Because I don't know if the 5-1 and one score games is one that you can lean on, especially as the strength of schedule gets more difficult. But the championship level defense, that feels like
and
one
clutch,
that's there.
And clutch CJ.
Clutch CJ, okay.
You know, he's made the plays when he's had to.
That feels like it's depending more and more on the offensive line's capabilities.
It is,
though.
But he's been on the move and making those plays as well. You know, a great text here that I think sort of illustrates that. I think it's from the 281. I used to dread when the opposing team had the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
And now they don't.
And 713 also brings up a good point about, like, D'Amico's coaching, deciding to blitz on that last play, 1 second left, as opposed to, or deciding to really bring some pressure as opposed to just kind of playing back and allowing teams to go at you. I think that might become a more of a prevailing, sentiment and way of playing that kind of situation, as opposed to kind of the prevent nature that we've seen in the past. So, yeah, you got it. I think that there is some positivity there, Lopez, for this team about halfway through the season. You can't say exactly halfway because there's 17 games as opposed to 16. And I don't know what 8.5 games is.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
But is it really?
When you go get that second order of wings on Thursday night.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's going to be the midway point of the season, halftime.
Now I have to get wings. I'm going to be at the Buffalo Wild Wings in spring hosting a Halloween watch party of this game.
Yeah.
As your Texans will be facing off against the New York Jets at MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. We here in the greater H-Town area will be having fun watching that, and I'll be watching that at the Buffalo Wild Wings in spring. Come out and see me. But you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It is a Tuesday, which means we'll have B. Scott at 11. And Figgy, how you feeling? You feeling better?
I'm feeling pretty good.
I forgot to check on you. I know that you have been a little day-to-day, playing through a little bit of injury.
Nah, I'm good. I'm good to go, man.
All right, excellent.
Good to go.
Glad. All right. Speaking of, I'm glad to know that you're good to go, because we haven't gotten any update when it comes to this particular guy who's been injured, Stephon Diggs. But with that, let's maybe, and this is where I'll allow me to be a little negative, let's assume possibly the worst. How do you evaluate that trade now, and what does that mean for Stephon Diggs and this team going forward? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
He has hit him big time.
Houston, let's
Let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, Reginald Atitula hanging out with you on a Tuesday. Feeling good, having a conversation about Sean's socks. Everything's normal on this Tuesday.
Not Sean's socks.
Oh, sorry, Seth's socks.
Yeah. You'll hear it at Confessions. That's a vertical tease.
I don't know what Sean's socks look like.
I don't wear socks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Today we learned
about each other.
Stay away from his shoes.
I'm one of the cool kids. Now, my feet don't stink. They're pretty and they smell
That's exactly
great.
What people say That's exactly what people say when you smell their shoes. They stink.
No. My feet are pretty and they smell great.
Mm-hmm.
Man, you want to try it?
As much as you be on that boat and out working you see and all it. That stuff you see and no it. Socks.
It's a talent.
You see it.
That's a lie.
It's a talent.
That is a lie.
He is nose blind to his own feet. That's what that is. I don't know how we started there on a Tuesday, but that is where we are. Let us know what you're thinking, what you're feeling on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. That number, 713-572-4610. Plus, we also got the Twitch, which is 610 Houston, and the YouTube, of course, Sports Radio 610, where you can watch us live and just watch various videos that we have from the shows all over the place. We're still waiting, eagerly waiting, in fact, or maybe dreadfully waiting. Like, how are you waiting for this news about
anxiously?
Anxiously. Okay, that
anxiously.
Is, I always go to the word man himself.
You're
John
the word
Lopez.
Man too, right,
I don't
Figgy?
Know about that.
Yeah.
There
we
are
got
some
a good
words,
thing going here.
But I feel
people
like,
are going to learn vocab.
Including me.
Including me. That guy's dropping Pyrrhic on our asses yesterday.
That is true. I did use the word.
I'm back here Googling.
I'll try and make sure it makes sense in context at the very least. But yes, anxiously awaiting and trying to figure out news about Stephon Diggs, wide receiver, where's number one for your Houston Texans. Obviously, we saw against the Colts on Sunday him plant that right foot and then just kind of crumple to the ground. So non-contact injury is what happens, and it's clearly that knee. He went right to the sideline.
Grabbed his knee.
They had the tent up, and he's just going straight to the locker room. They throw the tent down because they know he's not going in there, and he does not return to the game. And that all of that would seem to indicate something bad. Yesterday, D'Amico Ryans, when asked about it, was very quick. We're evaluating it, and we'll let you know, basically. And so we're all in the dark here, but we almost have to assume the worst. And some of the reason why that is we see some of the reporting on this. So, Figgy, if you could help me out here. Ian Rappaport talked about the Stephon Diggs situation. This is what one of those insiders has to say about it.
This could be a potentially significant blow for the Houston Texans. If Stephon Diggs is out an extended period of time with that non-contact knee injury you're seeing right there, did not look good. The vibes are not good. Pretty safe to say he is not expected to play this Thursday against the Jets in a short week. In the practice report they gave out, he was listed as a DNP estimated practice because they didn't actually practice. Head coach D'Amico Ryan saying they need to get more tests and continue evaluating his knee. Have not talked to anyone yet who said he's fine, don't worry about it. Still evaluating, still see. Just doesn't sound very good for Stephon Diggs. And I would say this, general manager Nick Caserio is someone who has never been shy about making a trade. If Diggs has to miss extended period of time, no doubt he is going to be working the phones to see if a trade is possible.
All right, so let's set aside the trade thing. Let's just talk about Diggs and what we're hearing, and more specifically not hearing. They are pretty, you know, close-vested, whatever you want to call it, when it comes to injuries. But if it's
they play the cards close
to their chest. Yeah. But if it's something that they think is going to be short-term, they do say that. They do say, oh, it's not that big a deal, or, you know, whatever, however they put it.
And then they just don't tell us anything when it's supposed to be long-term?
They say, we expect him back. They don't necessarily give you the time. But to not say anything is, I think it's telling. Right?
I don't know. I bounce back and forth here, right? Because yesterday, I said it again with the handoff with Payne and Pendergast. Yeah. Yesterday, I was like, it feels like these things we get a pretty early read on, mm-hmm. right? Usually, and you mentioned they play their cards close to the vest. They're kind of tight-lipped about this, but usually there's some level of indication that, ooh, yeah, they're fearing.
We think he'll be back.
That it might be an ACL tear or whatever, mm-hmm. right? And that is me, you know, kind of giving the landscape. That's not me saying that's what the Texans are, just in case you're listening.
Yeah.
But, we didn't get anything like that. So I was like, okay, maybe. And then he undergoes an MRI yesterday. And I did forget that it usually takes about a day to get back an MRI. So that today should be the day when they're able to kind of do that. But mm-hmm. it felt like if it was going to be a major thing like that they would have some level of understanding already. And the fact that they don't made me wonder if the longer that we go, that this is just like, hey, there's actually not, it's not as bad as it seems. And we're just trying to kind of figure out where exactly we are.
Me, I feel like they probably holding out hope for
That's where I am.
They holding out hope for maybe a sprain or something like that. One of those MCL sprains or something like that could keep you out multiple weeks.
Have either of y'all ever hurt your knee? Like an MCL. I've had a meniscus on this knee, and I've had a medial collateral on this one.
Oh, I'm going to be the jerk here because I have not really hurt myself. No broken bones. The worst real
Iron Man over here.
I got a few ankle sprains playing basketball, and then I had knee tendonitis from like a lot of standing.
Right.
But other than that,
I've had
I'm
one
good.
Tear in each knee, and I can tell you, and this is speaking to, you know, what you just said about they're kind of holding out hope. They have an idea, because as soon as you hurt your knee, the doctors or the athletic trainers, they have a pretty good idea as they're examining it on the field of what it is. So the whole idea of like maybe they're holding out hope, that could be true, but they do have an idea of what it is already.
Yeah, you kind of hear like a lot of athletes saying they're getting a second opinion, a third opinion,
something
stuff.
Like that.
I think they're just covering all grounds. They don't want to jump out the window and say he's out for the season. And all that stuff. And maybe he can come back later in the year or something. I think they just kind of holding out hope and kind of covering all ground.
Okay, so let's evaluate this. Let's look at this a little bit closer. First of all, the trade for Stephon Diggs that's made in April of this year. You send a second round pick, or the Vikings' second round pick, in fact, from next year. Mm-hmm. You got an additional second round pick from the Vikings. You send that on to Buffalo in exchange for Stephon Diggs and a fifth round pick this season, and then also you sent the second round pick from the draft earlier this year. But that trade, any level regrets now knowing that, or let's assume that it is a long term injury and that he might be done for the season, right? If that's the case, any regrets on that trade whatsoever?
I really don't. I don't know where you guys stand. We didn't even talk about this before the show when we were, talking about the show, etc. I really don't. You've got seven plus games out of him. He's not gotten less than five catches in any games. He's been significant in some of those wins. You wouldn't want more. We're all greedy, you know. But I don't think it was a bad trade. I don't have any regrets. Figgy?
I love Stephon Diggs. I think he brings a special type of energy to this team, but it's hard to say I don't regret it at all, because I thought we was going to get a little more out of him.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at somebody like, I'm going to channel my Ocho, my inner Ocho here, but Brian Thomas Jr. was right there. You could have drafted him. Like, I do think about that type of stuff, because, like, I think the one reason I was super excited to get Stephon Diggs was I didn't know Nico Collins was going to be the best wide receiver in the league. If I knew that, I would have been like, oh, we don't need Stephon Diggs then. We could draft the receiver and put somebody else right there. But I wouldn't say regret, but I do think about the other options that could have been.
One of the things that...
It's on you, first of all. You answer.
I don't regret it.
Yeah.
But I do have some questions about, and I can understand if somebody did, because one of the things that we haven't talked about as much, but we've kind of mentioned in passing from time to time, Tank, it does feel like when Tank Dell had the opportunity in this game, mm-hmm. once Stephon Diggs wasn't there, this is where you start to see him begin flourishing again. This is where you see him lock in. And there is a question to be asked if... it's a harsh way of putting it, but I'm having a hard time finding the right way of putting it, so apologies ahead of time. But did the acquisition of Stephon Diggs operate as like a temporary development stopper for this wide amount of talent that you have?
I don't think that's unfair. And I think that's part of the reason, you know, it immediately goes to the point of, you know, is a trade now a possibility? Because you are an offense that has all these weapons and now you're down. Well, right now you're down two weapons, but you'll get Nico back and you're going to be down a weapon with Diggs. It does speak to that. I don't know. As I said yesterday, I think it's not outrageous to think that that could happen. But to your point, Tank Dell, hell, Xavier Hutchinson. You know, we heard Nick Caserio talking on the coach's show. Like, it seems like when he's been called upon, he's made a big play here and there. Tank Dell starting to flourish. So I don't know where they're landing on replacing Diggs, if in fact he needs to be replaced. But I don't regret bringing him in. I mean, you're 6-2 in large part because of some of the plays that he made.
Yeah, and then also, but I think the interesting thing is going forward, right, Nico Collins hopefully should return. He'll be eligible to return after the Jets game at the very least, mm-hmm. right? Hopefully you'll see him return at that point, and you have kind of that tip of the spear, number one wide receiver back again, and all the talent that you have. But towards the end of the season, right, remember, this is probably – like seeing this injury happen, you have to be happy in some ways that Nick Caserio handled the Stephon Diggs contract the way he did, but he's going to be a free agent. One, do you imagine that this might lessen the amount if you did want to bring him back? And two, do you think that this is that's a good look on bringing him back? He hasn't dealt with many injuries over the course of his career. I'm talking about like groin strains. Mm-hmm. A knee strain in 2016, a patella strain in 2021, like nothing that's particularly like super damaging, and all of them pretty far back in his career.
Yeah.
Do you have any concerns about maybe bringing him back possibly to this team next year?
I think it's definitely going to be something that you consider because I don't think the price is going to be as high as you might expect because, you know, he is getting up there a little bit. He'll be 31 next year, and he is coming off of this season where he was effective, but to Figgy's point, maybe not dominant. But I don't leave it off the table to bring him back. That's for dang sure.
That's where Caceres has been. Like,
yeah.
I don't think that he was particularly committal on the idea that, yeah, we're definitely bringing him back, but mm-hmm. he did not necessarily come from a place where that was off of the table. And it feels like nothing changes, even if he has an ACL tear. Now, depending on if it's nine months to a year, right? If it's an earlier one, I think it makes him more palatable, right? Because that then puts him right about the start of the season, as opposed to if he goes a full year where you're mm-hmm. getting back midway through the season, which it's a lot. I think at that point, it's a lot less desirable to bring him back. But of course, this is all reckless speculation. We don't have any insight into whether he is, you know, what the degree of injury is as they're continuing to figure that out. We'll give you any level of update as we get it on Stephon Diggs, but you know, waiting with bated breath to find out what exactly happened on that plant during the course of that game to his right knee. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, inspired by the very end of that game against the Colts where the quarterback just decided he didn't want to play for a snap. What's the most embarrassing time you tapped out? Let us know on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atatula.
All right, we're about to get into our question of the day. What's the most embarrassing time you tapped out? Shout out to Anthony Richardson. But on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, 713-572-4610, somebody texted in and said, can we give Caserio a little bit of credit for trading for the Vikings' second-round pick, which is now looking like a late pick, and you know, sending that away in that trade? I think absolutely.
He definitely get the credit.
Absolutely.
Like, I think he rolled the dice because he ain't had to do that. I think that's a good roll of the dice.
Kind of like trading that Browns pick, the first-round Browns pick.
Yeah.
Which ended up being smart.
Yeah, Caserio, there's quite a few moves around the edges that you can give him a lot of credit for.
Yeah.
It's a game of margins in the way that I view it, man. Like the game becomes real marginal at the highest echelons of this, and so you got to take advantage of the margins, and it seems like Caserio has done it in that way, so I didn't want to give him that credit. As it came in on the text line, you also get involved on the text line, the 5-Hour Energy fan line, that is, 713-572-4610. Because Anthony Richardson, there's been a lot of conversation about him tapping his helmet, coming out of the game and letting Joe Flacco hand the football off because he said he was tired.
Yeah.
Will Anderson on Kicking It with Kunkel. Will Kunkel of Fox 26 sat down with Will Anderson and asked him about that. And this was Will Anderson's take on it.
Have you ever seen a quarterback go like this?
Never.
Bro, never. So what goes, did you notice it?
I didn't notice it until after the game and I seen the interview and he said it.
What goes through your mind when he does that? Anthony Richardson taps his head, needs to come out, and then after the game says, like, I was just tired.
Hey, I think it's just a testament to the defense, man.
Yeah.
And how we were pressuring them and how we had them running around. And I feel like that was the whole thing. They was talking about, like, he hasn't been sacked much. And we was like, we got to change that today. Like, this got to be something different. And I feel like everybody took that as a challenge.
Shout out to him.
Very tactful.
Shout out to him. You know, and look, it's tasteful, one, but then also it's a great way to then give yourself credit as opposed to, like, talking about that dude. Because in that moment, why talk about him? You done already faced him. You're done with him for the season because you ain't seen him in the playoffs. Absolutely not. So at that point, well, it's because we was killing him. We was getting after his keister, right?
Yeah.
So which they were. They were. I don't know if that's the exact reason why he tapped out. But it did give us an opportunity to ask, what was the most embarrassing time that you
I'm out. No, thank you. I'm good.
Shout out to the 346 who went ahead and took the easy layup. They said in bed.
Yeah. I'm about to say you can leave those stories out.
Leave those,
man.
Yeah. I have a very embarrassing one that I've never even told you two guys.
Uh-oh.
So it happened very recently, and I'm actually I'm not ashamed that I tapped out. Remember when I got invited to the Jose Canseco?
Oh no!
Oh, home run derby.
No!
I forgot about that.
Yeah, well, I conveniently never mentioned this. Oh my gosh, it was so embarrassing. So I get there, and they had asked me to participate in the home run derby.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned it on there.
Yeah, you did.
I think I mentioned it on there. I'm like, cool, I'll go out there.
I forgot that was happening.
So I went out, it was last month. So I went out there, and there's Canseco. And I thought it was just a bunch of celebrity, you know, bums like me, and media celebrity, air quotes, bums like me. It's Canseco, Johnny Manziel, Antonio Brown, a couple of former big leaguers. And they said, so I'm kind of just hanging out. It was really cool, all that stuff. And they say, you want to hit? I'm like, I'm good.
Oh, come on.
I'm just going to hang out right here. Because there was a crowd, man. There was a big crowd. And I actually did a home run derby about 15, 20 years ago. The Astros had one. And I was, you know, I was feeling I did okay. I didn't win it. But, I mean, you know, I didn't embarrass myself. Knocked some, you know, out. They had the little softball fence, you know, kind of in at Minute Maid. I'm like, all right, I think I knocked one out and hit the fence a couple of times. I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this. And I went out there, Canseco knocked some so far.
Well,
like,
yeah. He's supposed to do that.
Like, so far. They said, you can just hang out here and cover it and talk to the guys. Or if you want to hit, you can hit. I said, I'm good.
When's the next time? When's the next time you get to participate?
The fifth of never.
Who all did you talk to out there?
Just chat. You know, everybody's kind of talking behind the cage and all that stuff.
Did you talk to Antonio Brown?
I did not talk to Antonio Brown. You know,
no, CTE ESPN?
He had a big crowd around him.
Dang, man.
Yeah, shouted out.
Did he get you cracker the other day?
Said hello to, no, he did not. And I chatted a little bit with Manziel.
Is he eligible for cracker?
And I am not eligible. And Canseco. And but I was like, you know what? I'm good. I'm just going to enjoy the event right here. Oh, Lord. It's embarrassing.
I'm so disappointed.
It's embarrassing and disappointing, but I'm not embarrassed. I did it.
I'm embarrassed enough for you.
Yeah.
And this is embarrassing. I know that sometimes I don't deliver on these, but I am embarrassed about this. When I was playing select soccer my youth. Select soccer, right? I was a goalkeeper, right? I felt very good about that, right? And so if you're a goalkeeper, you have a good amount of responsibility, stopping shots, obviously, but you know, organizing defense, a lot of things. Except there was one responsibility that I did not take on, which was goal kicks.
You didn't do that?
I was one of those goalkeepers that let one of my defenders come and kick the ball for me.
Oh, you didn't want to go over the net.
I just missed
the ball.
Well, no, not penalty kick.
Oh, the goal kick.
Yeah, the goal kick. Yeah, so when the, obviously, like,
come on, man.
I don't know. I felt like I wasn't good at passing, or wasn't great at passing, so I let other people handle it.
That's a big part of the job.
That's the embarrassing part, John.
That's a big part
Thank
of
you
the
for
job.
Acknowledging that that's the embarrassing part. Yes, I was a great shot stopper. I could, you know, I was good at communicating with my defense. I just didn't feel all that confident with my leg necessarily, and
when it comes to actually kicking the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was maybe not the fullest of a goalkeeper. I understand.
Yeah, this one was the Bears. It kind of show you how washed up I am too. So me working out, like I'm trying to get ramped back up to working out, and I decided to get on the treadmill. I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna get on the treadmill. I'm gonna run for like 30 minutes straight. I'm gonna just, you know, not a strong sprint and
then just
like
go.
That. Just, you know. Man, I lasted like 2 minutes.
That's right.
And I was just like, nah, this cool.
It's cool.
It's cool. I do a slow little jog, or a slow little walk.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah, I can't run 30 minutes straight like that. And I did the same thing at the park. I'm like, you know what? I'm at a park, so I'm going to have to, you know, try to, you know, get in the groove there. Nope, about 30, 45 seconds. I'm like, nah, I just walk around and just look at the scenic view.
You know how I know I'm going to tap out when I'm working out? When I start thinking, do I really need abs? Like, what do abs do for you?
Are abs overrated?
Yeah, say abs overrated. Some other things that come in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. They said that they tapped out this past Sunday at the tailgate. Them shots got the best of me.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I have slowed down after week two with the Bears being out there. And I had
six shots and
three drinks.
Yeah.
I definitely been slowing down. Although this past week I kind of got that feel where I was like, man, I need to rev this back up. I might slow down a little too far. Some other ones that came out, the 3-4-6, they said they were an outfielder. They had a head coach that told the coach, that he played second. And it went about how well you thought it did. Ball got hit to him, and all of a sudden he lost his hands, couldn't pick up the ball.
The ball finds you.
Yeah,
the
it ball does finds find you. I don't know how that happens. What's the tap out part of it? Because that just feels like you missed the play. Yeah. Did you decide that, hey, guys, I'm not playing second no more? Is that what happened? Did you have to go tell coach that, no, I don't want to do that anymore?
Yeah.
Some other tap out situations. Okay, I don't know if I can say that. Although, we did say leave the bedroom situations
caught
out of there.
Caught a cramp. Yeah. Let's just say caught a cramp.
But someone did say they caught a cramp. And you know what? I'm not mad at you for saying
who hasn't?
That we got to. Yeah, but usually don't you try and fight through the adversity?
You power through.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, and then at the end, you go get yourself some electrolytes, some potassium to try and. But, you know, you got to finish the play. Anthony Richardson finished the play.
Yeah. Tapped out, man.
That's fair. Tapped out at Prairie View homecoming past the weekend. Oh, well, look, I ain't mad at you. I heard some stories about PV homecoming. Y'all was cutting up.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was one time I tapped out. I decided, I'm like, you know what? I told the wife, I'm like, let's go out. Let's hit the town.
Oh, boy.
Let's go to a spot. Man,
9 p.m., right?
First of all, got there early. Mm-hmm. So the DJ wasn't even set up yet.
Oh, no.
So I'm like, oh, man, this is a bad sign. But I want to say about 9:45, 10. Yep. I'm like, yeah, that's about good. We got our little drinks. We ate. We full. I'm like, yep, time to go.
But here's the thing, Fig. Ain't nothing embarrassing about that, man.
No.
It's just, look, why are we out for it? Home is real comfortable.
Yeah.
And I got somewhere to be in the morning.
Yeah. And I got to that age. If this place ain't got no chairs, no menu, don't invite me there, man. Like, I'm not going to no bar with no food or nowhere to sit.
Yeah.
No, that's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Oh, this is a great one that comes in. This will be the last one we do in the segment, but keep sending those in on the 5-Hour Energy fan line. I'll try and sprinkle them in throughout the show. They said they were helping their 10-year-old son with math. Got to number 6. It was too hard. I said they didn't have this when I was growing up. Yeah. Tapped out big time. Yeah. You are not the only one.
No,
yeah,
you're not.
They steady changing the math rules and all that stuff, too.
Yeah. What do you think the answer is? Right?
What happened to please excuse my dear Aunt Sally?
Oh, I know. I want to see you work
through it. Yeah, I want to see you work through it. The one that I would do is like, they ain't give you no book? Where's your book?
Yeah.
Let me see your book.
Going through every page.
They'd have changed that. Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
Yeah.
Like, no, it's not that no more, Duke.
Yeah, where did Aunt Sally go? I need to talk to Aunt Sally about this because I don't know what's happening. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's one of those points in the week that everybody looks forward to. We got our guy Brandon Scott coming in, and we'll start by going around the NFL, talk about a local legend getting an award that Lopez helped presented her. We'll talk about that and more next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.